We all go through a lot, right? If it's not health, it might be a relationship that's broken. It might be financial difficulties. And it doesn't mean you don't have finances, but a lot of times we do some things where we need more. And then it runs out. Or you ought to try building a house. Anybody built a house? Ooh, man. I sat right back there and talked to that house man, that guy that's building our house. And he gave us the bid, and I looked at all of them, just like I'm looking at you. I said, we will not do anything different than what is on those plans. And I just got to be honest with you, my wife must have not been there. Because there's been a lot of changes, man. And those changes aren't cheap. My builder charges about 30% on top of calling a change order. I'm like, man, boy, that money just goes out. Well, that can be, you know, a little stress to people that's building the house. Or how about the hurricanes and that people are having to deal with? The fires in California and Montana, all that area. I mean, I told y'all a couple of weeks ago that smoke came down in Lewiston, Idaho, and I was asleep in my trailer, and I just started coughing as if that it was coming through the air conditioning. It was terrible. What they're dealing with, hundreds of people they can't even find. Thousands of homes that are destroyed, burnt. The earthquake in Mexico, the shooting in Las Vegas. There's some things happening. Now, there are some preachers that are going out there and saying it's a wake-up call. I'm not against that, as long as you don't say it's God causing it. Because God doesn't cause an earthquake to kill people. Just a sign of the time. He doesn't cause a hurricane to come to destroy everything, man. That's just a sign of the times. It's not God causing it. He has to allow it to happen, of course. He didn't cause that man to shoot all those people and kill 58 of them and bullets hitting several hundred. He didn't cause that, you see. There's just conflicts going on. There's marriages that are under attack today like never before. And a couple of weeks ago, we dealt with a few of those things. How during the conflict to let God be mighty in your battle. And then number two, we talked about how we need to focus on the promises of God, man. Don't meditate on all the junk that's going on in our lives. No, meditate on the promise of God. Yes and amen. The God that's more than enough. And then we talked about how it's important to have faith, to take charge. Howdy and I do it all the time as we pray over this church, to take authority over the enemy that would try to destroy this church, our marriages, people in this church and their lives and finances and health, and it goes on and on and on. But this morning, I want to carry on just a little bit about how to conquer any kind of life's conflicts. Because again, the devil wants you to stay in the midst of a trial and tribulation for as long as he can keep you there. Because he's got you in bondage if he can just keep you there. But man, when God's people go, no, I'm getting over it. I'm not living in this way any longer. Then obviously it makes him mad. He doesn't want you to be an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. He doesn't want you to have victory in your life. No, he just wants you to be the victim again. He wants you to be the one that constantly says, well, you know, it's just my luck. I just keep going through the same old thing over and over and over. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to stay right in the midst of defeat. Because if you're there, then obviously you can't live by faith. You can't be that overcomer God wants you to be. No, he wants you to live in that way. That's why we talked about, you know, Joshua. We talked about how God expects us to follow where he leads. It'll help us stay away from conflicts. He wants us to have his promises. Because in the Christian life, it's vital that we get basic foundations firmly incorporated in our lives. Because when they're not, you don't know what to do when all hell breaks loose in your life. But man, when you get some foundation, it changes everything. So this morning, I want to give you a little bit more foundation that we desperately need. I'm teaching my kids right now, and I teach them this. I hope you teach your kids this. Three things in life. My daughter added a fourth yesterday. I like that, man. I mean, when they're thinking of things, I like that. The very first thing, and you can get them in here and they'll tell you these four things that I've taught them. Number one, never give up. Amen. I don't care what's going on in your life. Don't you ever give up. They told me our little Panthers football team that Seth played in last year. They were here for the junior rodeo yesterday that we had, and their little girl won the mutton bus and won a beautiful belt buckle, man. They were so excited. And the boy, his dad is a big guy. So obviously the boy is a big boy. But he's just 11 years old. But I'm telling you, he's pretty tall. Little bit big. He can run. Got coordination. Well, they're playing a football team last week. And they're beating them. And this team is used to beating everybody else. And this Panther team is a good little football team. The team gave up at halftime. They had to make excuses like, how dare you, you know, have 13-year-olds playing for you. I told that man, I said, get your birth certificate and just have it with you everywhere. No, he's just 11, you know. The point is they gave up. He said, I asked my son, what do you think I would have done if y'all had been getting beat so badly? Do you think I would allow you to give up? He said, no, Dad, I don't care if it's 80 to nothing. You'd never allow us to give up. The first lesson in life is don't you dare give up on anything. A marriage? Don't you give up. Now, I'm not saying that there's some things that causes some people like abuse and addiction and, you know, those kind of things that give us a way to get away from somebody that's like that in a marriage. But a lot of marriages are they just give up too easy. No, don't you give up. Number two, the greatest lesson that I can teach my kids after never, ever giving up is never be late. That's why I love the Bowens, man. Oh, and I try to beat them. There's been two or three times I've beat them in all these years. Don't you say just once. There's been like two. At least two. Huh? I changed the time. Well, you got to do something. They're always early. I respect that. I told my kids I would rather be an hour early than a minute late. I said, say it with me. I would rather be an hour early than a minute late. Why? Because it shows character. Very seldom will you ever see me late. But I still can't get... You got to get up like 3 hours early to beat them people. But see, that's what we need. To be early. Now, I'm not saying we don't blow it sometimes. There's times when you just blow it. But I'm telling you, that's a life lesson, man. Always be on time. Don't be late. Number three, I told him, the third thing I want to teach you kids after, don't you give up on life. Don't you give up. Don't you give up on your call. Don't you be late, man. Be early. Howdy, hard to beat Howdy because he's always early. I so respect that. Is always be kind. Always, always, always be kind. And then London, she said, Dad, we need a fourth one. She said this yesterday. I said, okay, what is it? She said, we need to have confidence. Because confidence is what, even in the Word of God, confidence is what makes one excel. I mean, you go out in rodeo, ooh, man, you're trying to beat the best in the world. You're competing against the greatest cowboys and cowgirls out there. They dedicate their whole life in these events. Confidence is key. That's what I told her. All right, let's say it, that fourth thing. Confidence is key. You see, I'm trying to instill these things because God wants us to instill some things in our life to conquer life's conflicts. So here's the first one that I want you to see. God desires people that will worship Him. That's why I told you during praise and worship, I think it's so important that we talk about praise and worship. And I know there's some praise and worship people in here. They come under attack more than any other person because Satan was a worship leader in heaven. And he got so big-headed that he thought he was God. We know the story. God kicked him out of heaven and anybody that would follow him. Sadly, several did. But praise and worship is vital. Look at John chapter 4 in your Bible. John chapter 4. In verse 23, Jesus is saying that all men should honor the Son, even... That ain't 4, that's 5. I was thinking, where did that come from? That's chapter 5, so let's go back to chapter 4, class. And let's read verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Do you realize that God created you to worship? Well, here's the problem. Is because we start listening to how we sound and we start seeing things about worship, it causes a whole lot of people not to worship. Cowboys, cowgirls, man, they have this pride built into us that, man, we don't want to be fanatical and we don't want to do anything that draws attention to self. Well, that's pretty important. But it also causes people then not to be true worshipers. As you saw in our service today, praise is a very important part of my life. Because praise is, man, when you clap your hands, you shout with a voice of triumph. Not agony and defeat, but man, we're excited about something. And what praise does, it's always fast. All praise music is very fast. You clap your hands. I mean, in other words, you want to get excited. It's kind of like a football game. What if the band got there right before the game and they... No. They don't do that, do they? They're... Right? What is that for? What is that for? Pump you up, man. Come on, get ready. We got to beat this team, man. Get going. Clap your hands. Come on, yell, scream. That's exactly what praise is for. To get you excited to receive from a God that will not fail you. A God that's more than enough, that's bigger than your conflict. Man, when you get excited and you get that spirit up, that's why, man, don't be afraid of praising God. I mean, I'm telling you, our black brothers and sisters, they got it right, man, because they know how to worship God. And us people, we need a little bit of that, y'all. Come on. Because that true praise, man, gets you fired up. I'm not going to let the devil in hell destroy me, not another day in my life. Amen. But then, well, go ahead, why don't you clap? I like that. Go ahead, mama. But then there's worship. God created us to worship. Because then you slow down. And that's when I hear from God. It's when I slow down. God, Jesus, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Thank you, Jesus. 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 Let all heaven and earth proclaim. You see, all I'm doing is getting all the clutter out, getting all the distraction out. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. And all I'm doing while I'm praising Him is I need you, Lord. What do I do? Where do I go, sir? And then there's a time when you just get quiet. And if you get quiet long enough, God begins to reveal things to you. Yeah, why don't you just stand? Stand. That's what I did, y'all. It saved our ministry one time. College National Finals. As I was ministering at a rodeo in Wharton, Texas. And I was in my room just going to minister at this rodeo, and I knew we had some slack and I'd be doing a church service right after it. And I'm praying and my telephone rings. And it's a man, had been to the national finals before, and his wife, very famous, she's the sister of a very famous country singer. And he calls me. I'm like, well, hey, how you doing? And he talked just for a second, and then he said, hey, you know, you've been doing that service at the College National Finals for about 4 or 5 years now, but I just wanted to let you know you're not going to be doing that service anymore. Well, I'd work my tail off to build that service. 1,000 people come to it, and I bet 200 or 300 get saved every year. What do you do when that happens? Because obviously my heart was like, I've been ministering to college kids for 25 years now. I was like, now I knew the man's reputation. It went before him, see. And I knew that he was a bully in the ministry. I don't understand that. The competition, oh my Lord. Competition between churches is from the devil, y'all. I love it when other churches prosper out there. I love it when they have people come into their services. It means the Spirit of God is moving. And thank God people come to this one. But one thing we're not is in competition with another church out there. I do not care about stuff like that. Trust me. But the competition in ministry is just there. And he was talking. He said, yeah, I don't, you're not going to be doing that service anymore. And I didn't say one word. I bowed my head while he was talking to me. And I needed to hear from God. I said, Father, what do I do? What do I say? And I just was there listening to this man saying, well, you know, you've built this service up, but you're not going to be doing it no more. We're going to start letting other people do it. Well, I've sown a lot of seed in doing that. And he talked for almost 10 minutes, and I never said one word. All I was doing, I don't even know if I heard a lot of what he said, but I needed to hear from God. What do I do? Here's a man trying to run me off from a ministry that is causing thousands to get saved. I've been there 20 years, by the way, and I just listened, and I felt the Holy Spirit, just as he was ending what he was saying, say, son, stand. That's all I heard in my spirit, man, because I needed to hear from God at that moment. What do I do? Do I let him destroy everything that I've worked so hard on, Lord? You are the one that put me into this place. I didn't do it. I didn't even know college kids at the time until God birthed me into a service in Big Spring, Texas, 1996. I said, what do I do, sir? And I'm telling you, all I heard, as I was quiet, that worship, man, all I heard was, son, stand. As soon as I heard that, he goes, the man on the other end, he goes, what do you think about that? As bold as y'all know I am anyway, I said, well, it isn't going to happen. He goes, what'd you say? I said, it isn't going to happen. I said, matter of fact, the commissioner of College Rodeo has already asked me to do this service on Sunday before the college national finals, Casper, Wyoming. I said, so I'm going to be there. The faculty president happens to be at the rodeo I'm at right now, has already given us permission to do this service that we've done for a few years now. So I'm going to be there. And I'm going to set my sound up, and to the glory of God, people are going to get saved, healed, delivered, and set free in Jesus' name. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now I'm talking to him, not to y'all. And he goes, well, you're going to be in for a rude awakening when you get there. I was like, oh man, this guy's big too. So he's a bulldogger. I'm thinking that. I'm known that he's a fighter. I mean, he'll fight you. It's like, dadgum. Most people just don't want to deal with that because they hadn't spent time in praise and worship so they can hear God on what to do in a situation like that. God said, no, you stand. I'll take care of it. So I immediately called mom and dad, my pastors. I immediately called Glenn Ann Smith, my spiritual father and mother in the Lord. I called and got counsel. That's a very important thing to do, get counsel. That's why it's important to call your pastor or the leadership at your church and get some agreement, get some counsel. What do I do? And all the counsel was, you know what, let's pray. And Glenn called me, and I'm in the motorhome, already heading to the college national final. That's a long ways from Texas, right? Because of praise and worship, it changed my whole life because I was willing to just hear, what did God? Now, if he would have said, nope, you need to go, it's time, then I would have been gone. But he said, stand. So Glenn said, all right, let's pray. And he began to pray this. He said, Father, if they're trying to stop the move of God here, we ask you to remove them in Jesus' name. Amen. I said, well, I agree with that, sir. Thank you, Glenn. Love you, buddy. I get there, and the day before the service, this man calls me. He says, Corey, I'm sick. It looks like you have the whole service. You have the whole week. And he never came back to that service ever again. Matter of fact, he died about 3 years later. Now, it wasn't that God... The Bible says, touch not God's anointed. I mean, you don't want to, don't come against the minister. I don't care what you think about him. Don't you do that. The bad news. But what was happening that I want y'all to see is I had to listen to God because the devil was trying to run me off from what God was trying to call me to do. And he said, stay put and stand. Had I not listened to that still small voice of God, I would have missed the call of God. Then I'd have been in trouble. because I'm here to tell you, it's been several years since that's happened. The tent service at the College National Finals in June that we all go to, you can't get a seat at it. After the rodeo at 9:30 to 10:30 at night, they can either go to the bar or they can come to the tent service after the College National Finals. The best college kids in the world. You see them at the National Finals on TV now. All of them. And they can't come to this tent service. Why? Because the Spirit of God one day in a motel room in Wharton, Texas told me to stand. Amen. Y'all, that is what praise and worship is all about. Don't be against praise and worship. Get into it and hear the small, still voice of God, because that's what we need in this life. Amen?
Number two.
These, are foundations that we firmly need to incorporate in our lives. Teach your children this, y'all. Is that we can look to God and trust Him to provide our needs. This will help you, y'all. This is a foundation. Trust God. Don't call the banker first. No, say, God, you said in the Word of God that you'll meet my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You said it, sir. Do you realize that, God, I've done that many times. Sir, you said it. It's right here. Because the Bible says, remind God of His Word. Not that he needs reminding, but what it is it's increasing faith. Sir, the Word of God says it. Good boy, that's what I've been waiting on, you to speak the Word of God. You know what we need? We need to just trust God. When all hell's breaking loose in our life, we need to trust Him. When our finances are under attack, trust Him. Just trust Him. When the doctor tells you you're dying, you trust God. Don't you dare believe the report of some man over the report of the Lord. No, the report of the Lord is final. The Word of God says that we're healed by the stripes of Jesus. Lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. That's the Word of God. We have to instill into our spirit, man, to trust God no matter what. You trust Him until you die and go to heaven. Come on now. That's a vital thing that you and I need, is we've got to look to Him and trust Him to provide our needs. Psalms 37 and 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and so shalt thou be fed. All it is trust in the Lord. Father, I trust You. I'm not giving up. I'm trusting You, sir. You are my source. We're Christians. We're not just Americans. We're not just moms and dads. We're Christians. If you're not born again, you better get born again today. There's no sense in you dying going to hell. That's a hot place. That's a bad place. That's why I travel everywhere. I don't want anybody to go to hell. That is a destination place, and it's real. That's why Jesus died, so we don't have to go to hell. I don't want to go there. Thank God for heaven. Thank God for the peace of God, man. He's so wonderful. Listen, it's vital. It's vital that we trust Him in this day. In this hour, please trust Him. Look at me. Please trust Him. Please. We put our trust in everything else, the stock market, gold and silver, oil and gas. We put our trust in a job when we ought to be putting our trust in El Shaddai. Amen. Amen. More than enough. His streets are gold, man. Oh, man, He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Amen. We've got to trust Him with everything that we have. Number three, and I'll close. We must learn to follow His leading and allow Him to direct our steps. We must learn. This is a principle you've got to get in your spirit. We must learn to follow His leading and allow Him to direct our paths. Turn over to Psalms 23. Let's just go there. Everybody, turn your Bibles real fast after you finish writing and go to Psalms, and let's look at 23. It's a very familiar scripture. I can quote all of this. I learned this whole passage last year. Say amen if you're there. Psalms 23. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Now think about that. I mean, just don't read a word and then just go over it too fast. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, I know I'm the shepherd of this church, but we're under the lordship of the shepherd. Amen? And I better be led by his leading as the shepherd of this church, the direction of this particular church. In your particular life, you better be led by the shepherd. Now, a shepherd, that's why God called preachers, is to help people get led by the shepherd. Amen? But don't confuse that. Don't look to me as the shepherd. I'll let you down. But the shepherd, Jesus, will never let you down. Ever. So what does it say? The Lord is my shepherd. Say it. Shepherd. I shall not want. Now that's important right there. Because if the Lord's my shepherd, then I don't have to want anything. Why? Well, then it explains it. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he what? Leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. What's your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's the soulish realm that you live in. Not your spirit. You're a spirit. When you got born again, your flesh didn't get born again. Your spirit is what gets born again. Your flesh still acts up. You got to crucify that thing. Amen? Put a whooping to it. This flesh, don't you act up. Stop wanting chocolate. I tell it all the time. Quit wanting chocolate. You know that chocolate twisty down there? Stop it. And then every now and then I'll go and eat the chocolate twisty. It's so good. And then I'll go out and rope. And then the chocolate twisty starts talking to me. As I'm tired and I can't get up. Give out, you see. The spirit man is what gets born again, because we're a spirit that lives in a body. That's why the body is important, because it houses the spirit of God. We need to take care of it. We are a spirit, lives in a body that has a soul. That's why the Bible says spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit man is what gets born again, y'all. Your spirit. Then your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, man, don't let them take control. Only have the mind of Christ. Because if you work on your own mind, it'll fail you. And then we can get so emotional about everything, it can really get messed up. You see, and then the body just kind of come along, does what we want it to do or what it wants to do. You see? No. Why don't we trust in the Lord? Why don't we let the Lord be our shepherd and not want? Makes me lie down in the green pastures. He leads me. Because again, what is the third one? We've got to learn to be led by His Spirit. Learn to follow His leading and allow Him to direct our paths. He restores my soul. He leads me into the path of righteousness for His name's sake. I'm reminded of the children of Israel. Because, as y'all know, they were reluctant to move from trusting what had been familiar into an attitude of, total trust in God. And God dealt with them for a long time, right? 40 years. And here they do, just kept going around and around. They were mad. I don't like how she did that. And I don't like them sitting in my seat. And I don't, that, how dare that preacher talk that way? How he's meddling in our business. And how, well, wait a minute. How, I can't believe she said that about me. And before you know it, here's all the murmuring and the backbiting and the complaining. And it just got their focus on the true promise. They stopped being led by the Spirit of God. They started being led by what they see. Remember? Over and over and over. And they could have been out into the promised land in just a few days. 40 years. They would not allow God to direct their path. That cannot be us, y'all. We have to allow God to direct our footsteps. What's wrong with us getting up in the morning and saying, God, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go today, sir? You'll be surprised by what God does. He'll say things like he's done to me. Why don't you go and just bless that person? And don't be moved by what you see. I mean, how many times I got to tell my story at Taco Villa or Taco Bell? When God said, bless that girl, bless her. I said, no, sir, I only got $20 and I want 2 burritos, no sauce, no onions, and a Dr. Pepper. He said, do what I said, boy. So I get up there and she's mean. Son of a gun. She said, what do you want? I said, what do you say? She said, she didn't say, how, sir, how can I politely take your order? She said, what do you want? I said, well, I came in for 2 bean burritos and I don't want any sauce or onions on them. Oh, brother. Here we go again. And I knew right then it was the devil telling me to bless her. I thought, I ain't doing it, Lord. Forget it. I want to slap her. He said, no, bless her. When I gave it to her, as y'all know, she started bawling. And she was a preacher's kid. I'm talking, you want to talk about preacher's kids can cuss. She was cussing. Woo-wee. But just because I obeyed God, I wanted to be led by His Spirit. You see, that's what we should be led by today. All this will help you get over and start conquering life's conflicts. Because some of you might be in a conflict right now. Emotional. Can't forgive. Hurt. Get over it. Say amen to that, y'all. Get over it. Come on, let's start living in the promises of God that are yes and amen. And if you do, there's the promised land. There's the promised land, man. That's when you get excited. Oh, thank you, God, for delivering me from all that junk. I mean, you'll start smiling more. You just laugh, just because you want to laugh. Oh, no, I'm not laughing at you. But if you are, I better go over here then. No, we just need some joy, man. Come on. You know, John, I've been seeing you post jokes on Facebook. My Lord, you tell a lot of jokes. Y'all been seeing that? There's some good jokes. They're clean. Yeah. Amen. What are they designed to do? I used to listen to this. Remember that deal on AM radio? I don't remember if I told some of you guys years ago. I'd be driving down the road. There'd be an AM radio station. And it would be a man counseling, a Christian man preacher counseling people. And he always said, all right, let's get some joy. Say this, ha ha. Say it, ha ha. Say it, ha ha. If I see you not saying it, I'm coming to you. Say it with me. Ha ha. Ho ho. He he. Ha ha. Ho ho. He he. Now you'll start feeling dumb. That's part of it, man. Ha ha. Ho ho. Before you know it, the people on the other end were laughing, forgetting about all the junk that's going on, being led by the spirit of joy, praise God, instead of all the other crud that tries to get us down. Not another day in this church, right? We're going to start living by the promises of God again. We're going to start being led by the Spirit of God. We're going to stop living by past defeats and past failures, and we're going to start marching towards the call of God in Christ Jesus. The mark, man. And I don't know about you, it's time. So let's start smiling a little bit more. Come on, let's get all over the being hurt at that church or this church. And let's just start focusing on the call of God in Jesus' name. Amen? Do you receive it this morning? Say amen if you do. Come on. Father, we love you. Thank you for first loving us.